Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, a 205-mile race in the Sierra Nevada mountains.
The trail was beautiful. I mean, the scenery is amazing. It circumnavigates Lake Tahoe. There's 40,000 feet of climbing and 40,000 feet of descending. Lots of big mountains to climb. Really beautiful.
The unique inspiration of running with Canadian soldiers.
I want to be part of a race that really gets a chance to thank our military and to kind of have that camaraderie that you wouldn't necessarily get even in your everyday life. So it's a way to kind of just interact with the community and see what people are really capable of doing.
And a military veteran running the Canada Army Run for the first time.
My health overall is better, physical and mental. And, it just progressed back into running again to say, okay, can I do this without aggravating some other injuries that I have? And, you know, I have to be careful, but, it's such a great thing, you know, when you're going and doing your Army Run and everybody's cheering you on. And
on this edition of iRun Radio, we'll talk to a couple of runners who are part of today's Canada Army Run in Ottawa, a couple of very inspiring stories. And as well, ultramarathoner Kathy Adams, who just completed the Tahoe 200. It's a 205-mile race. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
Ready for the Army Run? The Canada Army Run is today in Ottawa, and thousands of runners will be participating, including us.
I've been looking forward to this for a month, and I'm glad the day has finally arrived.
Yeah, and you and I have had some great experiences at this event. Last year, we both did the Commander's Challenge, where you run the 5K and the half marathon, and that's a neat experience. I know people are really into those kinds of challenges now, where you're doing multiple events on the same day or on the same weekend. But the most important thing to say about the Army Run is just that inspirational aspect of running with members of the Canadian Armed Forces, including some ill and injured soldiers who are participating. There is really nothing like the atmosphere of the Canada Army Run.
Yeah, that's true. I've done races now sort of all over the world, I guess I could say. And still, the Canada Army Run is the nearest and dearest to my heart.
It's very powerful. So very excited about that, and good luck to all the runners who are participating today. We are going to be speaking to a couple of runners who are in the field today. José Taillefer, who I think described it very well. She actually reached out to you in an email and talked about how she participated in this event in 2013, thinking of it as just another half marathon, an opportunity to get out and race. And she was blown away by the experience of running the Canada Army Run, and she's been back every year since. And she very powerfully describes what's different and unique about this event. And then Fred Connor, who is a military veteran and has participated in the Army Run before on a recumbent bike because of his injuries. And this year he is going to be running the event for the very first time as a runner. So that's a very powerful story, and there are so many stories like that, right? That's the thing. You're passing, and you're being passed by people who have been through so much, and this event means so much to them.
You know what, Mark? If I could backtrack for a minute, so much now with the trend in running is you find these races, and everybody wants to have an experience, and a lot of what that means to people is it translates to like a donut wall at the finishing line, or some kind of thing, or
right.
A DJ at the fifth kilometer.
Yeah.
When you want to talk about an experience that actually has a little bit of weight, you know, and a little bit of significance, I think I'd prefer with the Army Run. Again, not to put anything down, because that's great when there's firemen with their shirt off or wine at the finish line. But, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, the experience that the Army Run is a different ball of worms.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think of it often in the context of that very first event. I ran in the first Army Run in 2008,
so cool.
And that was just months after we had launched iRun Magazine. And what you got to tell me, though, where is this event where there's a donut wall at the finish line? I'd be all over that.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, you know, I sounded like I was a little on my high horse, but those events with the DJs and the donuts and all that, like,
sure.
Those are the Lululemon in Edmonton and in Toronto. Lululemon recently sponsored with Canada Running Series, which puts on the Scotiabank Marathon in October. And, you know, and it's wonderful. And when they sell out, you know, they're doing great. They bring new athletes to the sport. And it is. It's a lot of fun. It really is. It's a cool thing. And it gives running a little bit of, I don't know, running meets Drake or something like that.
Right.
You know, it got a little cachet. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's room
nothing wrong with a hook.
Yeah. Nothing
especially
wrong with
if it's donuts. I'd sign up for that event. I did have
sweet tooth.
I did have a monster apple fritter from Maverick Donuts in Ottawa after one of my marathons earlier this year. Yeah. So that was my treat at the end of the marathon. We should talk about last week's Berlin Marathon. We are going to be talking to a runner who participated in it on next week's show. But this was quite an event because Eliud Kipchoge set the world record in the marathon. And he didn't just set a new world record by a couple of seconds. He broke the old world record by over a minute, which is unheard of. I mean, this was an unbelievable performance.
Yeah, anytime running makes the cover of the New York Times, the cover of the Globe and Mail, the cover of the Toronto Star, you know, it's great for the sport. People are galvanized. It's exciting. This is the same athlete who was very involved with Nike's Breaking 2, you know, the idea of breaking a two-hour marathon on that racetrack in Italy, and I think he missed it by, you know, by a hair, and he is running now without equal. He had pacers with him, and he dropped his pacers, like, within the first 10 kilometers, and it's super exciting, and everybody's, you know, eyes are on our sport now. And I'd also say out in Berlin, what was exciting is the Canadian runner Rachel Cliff, a young woman based in Vancouver, ran her debut marathon, and she was only something like 35 seconds away from the Canadian marathon record set by Lady Marchant.
Wow.
So, you know, records are falling, you know, new faces are emerging, and the sport is galvanized, and people are interested.
Yeah, but very exciting, and congratulations to Rachel Cliff. But I'm just amazed at the margin by which Kipchoge was able to break this record. And as you said, dropping his... I mean, how can you be a pace setter for... How do you find people to run with this guy,
you need
right?
a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I mean, what else he did that I love about this guy is he ran that race with a negative split. In other words, he ran the second half of his marathon faster than his first half. Which means some to consider. I mean, people have been talking, like, you know, so potentially he could have gone faster, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard when you break the world record and people said, wow, you could have done more than, like, what nobody's ever done before. But looking at the data, it seems like, you know, that's conceivable.
Yeah. Here's another fun stat about Kipchoge. He has entered 11 marathons in his life. He's won 10 of them.
Wow. So, that's nice. Yeah.
Including the last 9.
He's also, you know, another cool thing about the marathon is this guy's not a 19-year-old wunderkind. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's 31.
I see. He's 33.
33,
yeah.
Better yet, which is, again, something that's cool about the marathon that I've said often is that, like, you know, it doesn't necessarily favor the youth. 33, and he's almost a master's athlete at that point.
Right.
35 is the cutoff, you know, so it's like you can improve with the marathon.
Right on. Good stuff, Ben. We'll see you out there on the Canada Army Run course. Good luck today. Thanks for joining us.
Good luck to everybody. Thank you, sir.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, the incredible ultramarathoner Kathy Adams on her 205-mile race. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. What does it feel like to run 205 miles over the course of 3 days, the equivalent of almost 8 marathons? This is something Kathy Adams has come to enjoy doing. She did the Tahoe 200 last year, did very well, and was back doing it again this year. Kathy, of course, is a prolific ultramarathon runner. She's been with us before. She also happens to be the wife of Ray Zahab, iRun's runner-in-chief. Kathy, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
So you have been gradually taking on bigger and bigger challenges and running ultra marathons and all kinds of different events and really relishing the opportunity to run long distances. That's the sense I get from you. You really like these endurance challenges, don't you?
Yeah, I really like the longer the better for me.
that's not how it started. I started out with 10 Ks, and now it's 205 miles, 206 miles.
Yeah, and why is that? What do you think what appeals to you about it?
I think the challenge and the quiet time out in the forest. I really like just seeing what I can do over a long period of time.
And tell us about some of the events that you've done before this one. What are some of the other ultra marathons and endurance tests that you've met?
More recently, I would say Eastern States 100 was my first big 100 mile one, Beast of Burden as well. And then last year I did Bigfoot, and that was a 206.5 mile in the Cascade Mountains in Washington State. And this year, Tahoe 200, which is actually 205.5 miles in Nevada and California.
And how would you describe these events compared to, say, a marathon, which many people view as the ultimate endurance test, at least for them? What's the experience like compared to a marathon?
You know what? It's probably not really any different depending where you are in your own space. You know, everything is relative. So when I did my first marathon, that feeling of being out there for a long time on my feet, facing challenges, having to take care of my nutrition. All of those things are the same when you're doing a 200-mile event. I guess the difference would be the sleep. These events take anywhere from, for me, about 78, 79 hours. So I don't really have too much time for sleeping over those 3 days. So I guess that's the big
yeah.
difference.
And how do you prepare for that?
Well, I have a great coach,
yeah.
my husband, Ray Zahab. Ray has trained me for all my events. So I just kind of follow his regime, training about 4 days a week, a couple of days off, long runs back to back. So usually Saturday, Sunday, long runs, practicing my nutrition when I'm training on the run, that sort of thing.
But how do you prepare? How do you prepare for the lack of sleep, though? Do you do anything to get ready for that?
No, I was going to say it's impossible to train for that aspect. That's just where it's mental toughness, to be honest with you, just being able to push through and keep going. We did have a sleep strategy to try to sleep every 100K. Didn't quite work out that way for me this year. I had a little bit of a struggle at the beginning of the race with some breathing issues. The race was at altitude anywhere between 6,000 and 10,000 feet. So I found that difficult, and it was quite dusty, and there were some forest fires in the area. So I found the breathing really hard. And so I would just try to come in and take a rest at 100K, but I was just almost too tired to sleep and the breathing thing. But I managed to sleep 2 hours during the race.
Just 2 hours over the course of 78, 79 hours, something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, that's sleep time. And then rest time, I laid down for an hour at one checkpoint and about an hour and a half at another, but wasn't able to sleep.
And how do you start to feel having not slept for that long?
This year wasn't as bad as last year. Last year was the first time I really experienced sleep deprivation, where I began to hallucinate on the trail and see things that weren't there. This year was a little better. You know, I was kind of sleeping and running at the same time. Saw a few crazy things in the woods, but not too bad. Not as bad as last
year.
Wow.
So do you just keep going during those circumstances? You just push through? And is that part of the test of this kind of event?
I would say yes. You know what, like when you're out there and that's happening, I'm just kind of counting down the miles to the next aid station, knowing that when I get in, I will have to try to lay down and sleep to get rid of the crazies. But it is a challenge because people also feel that, well, if I sleep now, then someone's going to pass me. So there's that balance of you do need to sleep so you can move quicker, but then you don't want to rest too long because someone will go ahead of you.
Yeah. And were you thinking in those terms? This is competitive for you as well as a test of your own endurance. You are competing with the other runners?
Actually, not really for me personally. It's so long. I just, you know, last year was amazing and I loved it. I just didn't know if I could do it again. I didn't know if it was a fluke. So I kind of went in just thinking, okay, this is a long run. Just do the best you can. And especially when I wasn't feeling great in the first half, I thought, okay, I'm just going to have to back it off, take it easy, do the very best I can to finish this thing. But in the end, it turns out I this seems to be a good distance for me. I am able to be competitive. So,
because you did really well in the race last year, right?
I won my age group.
Yeah.
I was fourth female.
Okay.
And this year, I was seventh female and first in my age group.
Yeah.
So I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, those are great results. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So describe what the race experience was like. You mentioned that early part where you were having breathing difficulties. How did things go from there?
I just kind of took it in stride. I really, to be honest with you, I really did think about stopping. I ran the first 105 kilometers solo. Everybody has to. So that meant going through the night alone and coming in to the aid station. I was able to pick up a pacer, so Ray came with me. And about, this is maybe 130 kilometers in, I said to him, I just don't think I can do this. Like, I cannot breathe. It's just not going to happen for me this time. So he said, okay, well, just stop at the next aid station. And I guess I was expecting him to, like, say, oh, come on, you can do this. And it was kind of the opposite, and it jolted me to think, okay, hold on. I'm not really going to stop at the next aid station. Like, I just, you know, but I said, okay, well, let's just take it a bit slower. Let's just do the best I can. I just got to finish, and just kind of took all the pressure, any pressures I had off of myself, and just decided to go easy and just try to do the best I could.
Yeah, and what's the environment like that you're running in? What's the scenery like? What do you see out there?
You know what, the trail was beautiful. I mean, the scenery is amazing. It circumnavigates Lake Tahoe. There's 40,000 feet of climbing and 40,000 feet of descending. Lots of big mountains to climb. Really beautiful. The trail was really dusty and rocky in places, some boulders and that sort of thing. But really, really beautiful.
So it's technical running. It's not just, and in some cases it's climbing. It's not just like running on a road, obviously.
Yeah, no, there was 8 miles of road at a 205.
Wow.
Just lots of climbing and descending and like I said, really dusty though.
Yeah.
Really dusty trails.
So you must be happy with that result, especially given that there was a point at which you didn't think you would finish.
Yes, I was really happy in the end. I feel like I ran a really smart race. It was smart for me to back off. I implemented a lot of strategies that Ray had taught me over the years. You know, when it's hot, you know, move to the shady side of the trail. You know, my hamstrings started cramping on one of the 4 mile climbs. And so, you know, just this was a road that we had to climb, and just doing little things like turning backwards and just walking up the hill. I wasn't going to trip on anything. It was a road piece. So, you know, giving my hamstrings a break by walking up backwards and, you know, just little things like that he's taught me. So I was really happy with the race that I ran.
And how long does it take to recover from something like that?
Probably a couple of weeks. You know, I'll take at least 1 week off running completely. You know, a little walk here and there, but no real running. But probably to truly recover, probably 3 to 4 weeks, I would say.
And what's next? Have you thought ahead to your next challenge?
No, I remember when I was out there, I said to Ray, okay, if I ever say I want to do this again, please remind me of this moment. Like, I'm never doing this again. Of course, now that I've finished, I wouldn't say that I have anything on my agenda. But I also don't doubt that I will probably do another one. There really is something magical about that distance. I do like it. I really do like it.
So it'll be another 200 miler or something in that range?
Something in that range, if I can find something interesting.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of them.
Yeah, and when you going back to your training, how much mileage were you doing every week to get ready?
Not that much, Mark. Like, for me, maybe 80 to 100K a week would be, I think I had one max week of maybe 125. You know, I don't do a lot of high mileage. I don't do well with a lot of high mileage. Some of Ray's clients do. I'm not one of them. So, you know, a 3 or 4 hour run on a Saturday and again on a Sunday and then a couple of shorter runs during the week is pretty much as much as my body will allow.
And then it's about pushing yourself on the day itself, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it really is so much mental. Of course, you have to be somewhat physically prepared, but a lot of it is mental, just to keep going, putting one foot in front of the other, saying, okay, one more step, you know, aid station to aid station, rather than looking at the whole distance at once, just breaking it down into where you're at right now and just looking at it in small chunks.
Well, it's an incredible accomplishment, Kathy, even just to finish, let alone to win your age group and to do so well in among women in the race. Congratulations, and I look forward to hearing about your next challenge. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
That's Kathy Adams, who just completed the Tahoe 200. Coming up next, the unique atmosphere of the Canada Army Run. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Our next guest is one of thousands of runners who are part of the Canada Army Run today in Ottawa. José Taillefer first participated in 2013. She has run it every year since. José, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into running and what role running plays in your life.
Yeah, so running wasn't really something that I was into much growing up. Like, I played soccer recreationally. But I was more of like a nature kid wanting to be like on hikes and canoeing and stuff. So when I moved to Ottawa for school, I wasn't in like the best shape. So I remember kind of one day I was in the University Center of Carleton and I was walking up the stairs and I was so unbelievably winded that I had to take a breath and kind of just stop, and I was embarrassed. So I started walking a little bit every day, and then I started seeing people running, and I was like, oh, that's kind of something I can do. So I started running in the summer of 2012, and I gave myself kind of some time to like kind of train and get used to the idea that I was becoming a runner. And then in 2013, I started signing up for races because I really wanted to challenge myself to kind of go to that next step. So that's how I kind of got introduced into the Army Run.
Okay, and we'll talk about your Army Run experience in just a moment, but what role did it take on in your life? What do you get out of running now?
At first, it was more just like a health aspect. I just did it to kind of stay healthy and get more fit. Nowadays, it actually is something that I absolutely love doing. It's a way for me to kind of maintain a really good work-life balance. Being a manager with Starbucks, it can be kind of stressful at times. So this is my way of kind of releasing all of that stress and just kind of like reconnecting with like the running community and people that I see every day.
It must be one of the few times in the day when you are on your own or you have some time to think. I know in the retail business, in hospitality, you're on your feet all the time. You're engaged with staff and with customers. So it's go, 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 right?
Yeah, it really is. It's a time for me to kind of just go through my thought processes. And it helps me really plan out like what I'm going to do either that day or that week, or kind of just plan out my month. So it's a lot of good me time.
So let's talk about your experience with the Army Run, because as you mentioned, you were starting to do some races in 2013, and it was on the calendar, and it's in Ottawa. So I think you initially signed up with the idea that this is an opportunity to do a half marathon, nothing more than that, right?
Yeah. So that year I actually had ran two previous half marathons, one back in my hometown of Sudbury, and then I ran Ottawa Race Weekend. And based off of the times that I ran there, I was like, oh, like, there's this race coming up in the fall. I know that the fall has cooler weather. I can really go after a personal best with this race. So a friend and I had signed up, and we were kind of training together throughout the summer and just kind of going after that number aspect of running. And so I remember being at the start line and kind of just being surrounded by all of these people, and they were all like really excited. So I kind of just fed off that energy. And I remember, I think it was within the first 5 kilometers, I had passed somebody who was running with a tire, or two strapped to their back. And I had to kind of just stop for a second. I was like, wow, that person is doing that. Like, they're going to run this entire race with those tires on them. And as we continued on, I just kept coming across all of these amazing people who were running with, like, full Army gear or full firefighter gear. Some people who were part of the, like, ill and disabled portion of the Army run. And I was just, I'm pretty sure I started crying at one point. And I remember telling a friend afterwards that it was a really emotional race that I wasn't expecting to happen.
And you didn't have any experience with the military or any significant experience before that, members of your family or people in your hometown or anything like that? No big connection, right?
No, it wasn't until I moved to Ottawa that I was really introduced to the military kind of aspect. And the Army run was a really big influence on that. So, like, back home, like, there would be people who were part of the military, but it wasn't something that you came across every single day. It was more of like assemblies at school or special events that were happening in the city and whatnot. So to have a race dedicated to our Canadian military was such a beautiful thing to be part of.
So what did you feel as a result of that? How did it change the experience of running the half marathon?
It made me really think that it wasn't about racing for a number. I know that some people still do it, and I absolutely love that idea. But for me, it was more, I want to be part of a race that really gets a chance to thank our military and to kind of have that camaraderie that you wouldn't necessarily get even in your everyday life. So it's a way to kind of just interact with the community and see what people are really capable of doing. As well as just running in Ottawa itself. It's such a beautiful city, so getting to do both at once, I love it.
So did that make you decide you needed to do that race again?
Yeah, so from that first year, 2013, I ran the race every single year, and it's without a doubt always on my race calendar, no matter what I'm doing every single year. That race kind of comes first to me. I actually plan my vacations around it now, and my friends and family know that the weekend of the Army run, don't try to book me into anything because I won't be there.
Wow. So this is serious for you. You've got a real relationship with this event.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, and one of the things that I know a lot of people really like about it, and you've alluded to it a little bit already, is that camaraderie, the fact that you're running with military personnel. There are important causes that are being supported by the event, like Soldier On, and that there's just, it's a way of saying thank you, and it's a way of sharing the route with the men and women in uniform.
It really is, and what I find is great is that you actually will be running with people and you might not know they're part of our military, and you run past them and you get a smile or like, you're doing a great job, things like that. And so it doesn't matter what your background is when you're part of this race. It's just, you guys are doing the one thing you both love, and that's to run.
So you're still allowed to do a PB at this event, though, to run your fastest half marathon ever, even if that's not the biggest priority. So how did it end up turning out in 2013 when you ran it for the first time?
I ran, I believe, a 1:49, which was my second fastest run time. I ended up running my best half marathon about a month later in a different race. But it was definitely a challenge, like the hill aspect and whatnot, but that's what I love about the course and the way that the Army Run is set up, is that it's it seems simple enough, but it throws in a few challenges at you as you go along.
So what are your goals for this year's event?
I'm actually not racing for a time or anything. I'm doing it just for the pure joy of it. So first is to actually finish. So I'm part of the Commander's Challenge. So I'll be doing both the 5K and the half marathon. But it's actually, I have a few friends who are going to be participating in the race, and I know that some of them are going after personal best. So it's more, I want to support them throughout.
And what do you think of these new challenges that they've introduced over the last couple of years, like the one you're doing where you do the 5K and the half marathon?
I think it's great. I know for some runners, only having a certain distance as like the furthest distance you can do for a race kind of got a little boring for them. I remember talking to some runners and they wanted a full marathon to be introduced to the Army Run. But I think having the challenges is a great way to really test your ability to train and to finish. Because I had never ran multiple races in one day until the Army Run. And so, I don't know, I find this pretty unique.
And are you committed to doing this race every year from now on? You're going to stick with this?
Oh, for sure. I'm actually, the day after I run this year, my family and I are going on a two-week vacation. So we planned it purposefully just after the Army Run. So that's how it's going to be for the future.
Yeah. Well, Jose, it's great to hear you describe the Army Run. I think you capture it perfectly. It really is a very special event and unlike any other, unique, as you say. You've described it so well. Good luck in the race, and thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you so much.
That's Jose Taillefer, who will be running in today's Canada Army Run. Coming up next, a military veteran who will be running the Army Run for the very first time. The Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon is coming on October 21st. Your spot is still available in the 5K, half marathon, or marathon. Join thousands of other runners and race against some of the best in the world, including iRun contributors Reed Coolset and Krista Duchesne. Visit iRun at our booth at the STWM Expo and join one of the best running events in the world. Fred Connor is a military veteran who has participated in the Canada Army Run before using a recumbent bike because of his injuries. But this year, he will be running the event for the first time. Fred, thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio.
I greatly appreciate the invite, and thank you for having me today.
So tell me about your career in the military, and then we'll talk a little bit about your plans for the Army Run.
My career in the military, I served 23 years. Out of that, I served 2 years as a reservist with 2 years as a reservist with the 2nd Field Engineer Regiment out of Toronto, and then I decided to join the Reg Force 1986. Went to Cornwallis 1987, and then from there on went on to trades training, where I became a chef in the military. And then I sustained some injuries in my career. And that forced a medical release out of the military, April of 2008. Out of my career, I served with, I did two tours, 1988 with 3 PPCLI in Cyprus, and 1993 with 2 PPCLI in the former Yugoslavia, Bosnia.
Let's talk about how you got into running out of that. And I know it didn't start out as running for you. You participated in the Army Run, not as a runner at first, right? Your first time in the Army Run was in 2011. Tell me how that came about.
So I'll backdate that a little bit. I was in post of the Borden. I was 30 years old. I was not very active back then. And I was pulled in from age 30 medical. And at that time, I was diagnosed with borderline high cholesterol at 30. So at that time, I had to make some life changes. And a gentleman whom I was working with said, "Start come running with us again." I used to run when I was younger a lot and started running again. Changed my diet. So I was at the ice storm. Got injured. I'd hurt my lower back, L3, L4 back injury, and lost the feeling in both my feet. At that point, I was basically told, you know, you do physio the whole bit. And after a while, I regained the sensation in my feet, but the injury was there still, and it was non-operable. And so it got to the point where I was like, okay, I can't do much. And so I sat in on a soldier-on presentation in Shiloh, and I said, okay, great stuff, great program. I don't know if I deserve that or not. And my own personal pride got in the way of accessing it. Maybe 6 months later, I sat in on another presentation in Toronto, and it was a smaller group, so I was able to ask some questions, and they said, you know, you may be a candidate for, soldier on grant. And I applied to go on the first soldier on event at the Army Run in 2011.
Okay. So you rode a recumbent bike in the Army Run in 2011.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I rode the recumbent bike, and it was kind of the first awakening to say, okay, I need to cycle more. I need to get into shape again.
And what did it mean for you to participate in the Army Run?
For me, you know, when I crossed the finish line the first time, it was a sense of I can do this. I can, you know, it was emotional to come across the finish line the first time. And every year coming across the finish line for me is just a way of saying to myself that I can do this. There's something that I can do. I can overcome this adversity, this obstacle, and whatever. And because of the Soldier On program and the grant program and being involved in the Army Run and the whole bit, I've been able to transition into a two-wheel bike now. So my overall health is better. My health overall is better, the physical and mental. And, it just progressed back into running again to say, okay, can I do this without aggravating some other injuries that I have? And, you know, I have to be careful, but, it's such a great thing, you know, when you're going and doing the Army Run and everybody's cheering you on. And, so this year will be a little bit different for me because it'll be at a bit of a slower pace.
Yeah, but you'll be running it. And tell me how you're going to feel about that after having cycled it and participated for several years to actually be running the half marathon this time.
Well, you know, it's a great question because I've thought about that. Some of the people that I usually am at the start line with the ill and injured on the bikes, on the adaptive bikes and recumbents, and they come from all sorts of walks of life. I will miss that because that's kind of where my heart is, and that's where I started off from. I'm part of the frontline race team. I'm very fortunate to have been selected this year. And I guess from my perspective to say, you can achieve anything that you want to do. And, but at the end of the day, I will be still with those guys or gals, whoever's cycling. And I wish them nothing but the best.
Sure, of course.
Have a great time, you know?
Yeah.
Enjoy the experience.
And it's worth pointing out that Soldier On is one of the organizations that has benefited from the Army Run over all these years. So tell me more about how Soldier On has impacted you, because that's, for all the people who participate in the Army Run, that's one of the effects that they have is they're supporting Soldier On.
Correct, yep. I mean, for me, I don't think if it wasn't for Soldier On, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today, bottom line. I mean, if I hadn't, taking the time to listen to somebody from Soldier On, one of the representatives, and kind of talked and was open about what was going on and, filled out the paperwork and took the time. Where I am today and I'm physically active and, I'm looking at other things and I've done some other events and participated with some different events with Soldier On, I wouldn't be where I am right now, period.
Wow.
I mean, financially for some veterans, to go out and buy a piece of equipment like a recumbent bike is just financially not attainable.
Yeah.
You know, that's not an off-the-shelf item. You know, you can't buy a recumbent bike for, you know, for, I don't know, $500 to $600. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, some of these bikes are quite pricey. And, you know, if you have a veteran who's lost a limb or has a disability or something like that, you know, these bikes are give you freedom is what they do. For me, that's what it did. It, you know, for the cycling in that on the recumbent, like running, you know, some people run and they feel the air beneath their feet and they feel light. Cycling is what that does for me. And now that I'm running again, I'm not running at the pace that I was when I was 30 years old, but it's just still the same thing.
Yeah. Now, for you as a military veteran to participate in the Army Run, to see the support that the community gives to this event, to have veterans, current personnel, civilians all running together in an event like this, all participating together, the crowds cheering you on. Can you describe that atmosphere and how, you know, how it affects you and other veterans to be part of that?
The best way to answer that is to say, you know, is that during the Army Run and when people are out cheering, you know, they're cheering for their son, their daughter, who is serving, who's not serving, who is participating. You know, it could be a police officer, it could be for their grandmother, grandfather, who may be participating in a wheelchair, and you're only doing they're doing a 5K, whatever. I mean, it's when they're cheering along about the race route and the whole bit. You know, and you're hitting that wall, 16, 18K possibly, or 17K. You know, and people say, hey, you know, they call it your name or whatever, or they've got a funny saying on a placard, you know, or whatever, and that kind of lifts you up to keep you going to get to the end of the line or the finish line or do the commander's challenge. I mean, it's if people didn't come out and support it and support us and the whole bit and learn about the military and kind of get involved, I mean, you know, it would just be a normal run.
Yeah. And it's right? Not a normal run, that's for sure. Fred, I really appreciate you joining us, and I want to thank you for being on the show, but most importantly, I want to thank you for your service to our country. Thank you very much for your time today.
I really appreciate your time, and thank you very much. To all the people who are going to participate and volunteer and stuff like that, and the police officers, these events don't happen without the people that volunteer.
Very true. We'll see you at the Army Run, Fred.
Look forward to it, sir. Have a great day.
That's Canadian military veteran Fred Connor, one of thousands of participants in today's Canada Army Run here in Ottawa. Good luck to everyone who is in the Army Run. Coming up next week, one of the many runners who competed in last week's Berlin Marathon, and as well, Canadian Olympian Dylan Weiss. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.